How many of you, raise your hands, got in trouble a lot as a kid? You always in trouble. Yeah? Okay, I want to hear some of your stories one of these days, okay? I really want to hear some of your stories. Okay, and how many here were like goody two-shoes kind of kid? You never got in trouble. Raise your hand. And the rest, what happened to the rest? never got caught. Oh, I was like you. No, it takes a lot of courage to admit that you were a boring kid. So, but I'm just kidding. I was a goody two-shoe kind of kid. And I remember, I'm going to tell you a story. This is a personal story. That one of the few times that I got in trouble, I was 8 years old when I got in trouble. And my parents were not home. And my friends invited me to go with them to the local zoo. Back in Mexico, I was 8 years old. And that meant that I have to take public transportation and be away from a few hours. And I knew for a fact that my parents would not let me go. But since they were not home, I said, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to ask my brother. And I know that my brother is going to say yes. And if my parents get mad, I'll just blame my brother. I'll say, he let me go, right? So I go talk to my brother. He's not even paying attention to me. You know how older brothers are, right? They're not even paying, he's not even paying attention to me. And I say, hey, can I go to the local? So he's like, yeah, you can go. Let's just go. So I was happy. I go. My parents get home. And so they ask my brother and they ask him, where is Rodrigo? And he's like, I don't know. I haven't even seen him today. And so they get really upset. I mean, keep in mind, I'm 8 years old. I've been out of the house for more than 5 hours. So imagine how it went for me when I got home. It didn't go really well. It didn't go well at all. But something interesting that happened to me after that, the aftermath of my rebellion, is that I was trying to overcompensate for what I did. I felt so guilty that I was asking permission for everything. Mom, can I drink some water? Can I go to the bathroom? And then inside the bathroom, can I use the toilet paper? You know, I was asking permission for everything. And what is interesting is that the way that I approached my parents as a kid, I think in sometimes the way that we approach relationships as adults. It's like applying Newton's law, and this is where this is going to make sense, right? So what does Newton's law say? It says that for every action, please move, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And let's give a clap to Victor because he built this, and it's working, Victor. Woo! You know, it's the kind of idea that we lean to when we want to put our life together. When we mess up, we try to do something to kind of fix the thing that we didn't do right. Like we ask, how can I undo the thing that I just did? How do I balance things out? And the thing is that many times we don't even realize it. We do this automatically. We have come into patterns of responding in a certain way in relationships. For example, let me give you another example. Let's say that you are late. Anybody in the morning is late. And you've been talking to your kids and you have told them nicely 23 times, please hurry up, please hurry up. And they did not hurry up. So you lose your cool. So you yell at them and you tell them a lot of bad things. Yeah, I told you this was the last time. Wait, hurry up, right? So what do we do? Well, after we drop them off of school and we pick them up, they give them dinner, we feel so guilty. So we give them, oh, we're going to take you out to ice cream today. Some of the kids here are like, my parents never do that. Or maybe you promised a friend, you told a friend, hey, friend, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to spend some time with you this weekend. I promise that I'll be there. But then something happens and you don't show up. So the next time you see him, you try to overcompensate and you give him a lot of compliments. You tell him, are you losing some weight? Are you on a diet? Do any of these resonate with you? I mean, most of us play this balancing act in our relationships, like some way or another. And it's not bad to say that, you know, it's okay to try to fix things when we mess up. But when we live life like that all the time, it can bring so much stress in our relationships. Because we never know if I owe something to somebody or they owe us something. We're never quite sure. And the reality is that not only we take this balancing act with our friends and our family, but many times we bring this balancing act mentality when it comes to our relationship with God. We think that God relates to us the same way that we relate to each other. So what happens when we try to live our life like that? Well, one of the things that happen is that we might strive for perfection. We work really, 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 really hard. And when we do something bad, just like I was saying right now, when we do something bad, then we try to compensate by doing something wrong. I'm sorry. Then we do something right. So I do something wrong and then I'm like, well, maybe I just show up to church more often. Maybe I'll go without internet for a whole week and trying to keep the balance so perfect. Others of us know that we will never be perfect. So what do? We know that we do a lot of bad things, but then we're like, I'm just going to put a little bit of stuff in the good side. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm not that bad. I'm just good enough. So that's fine. I'm just good enough. And however, some of us, you know, we feel that we have piled up so many things in the bad side that we stop trying. And we simply give up. And we say, what's the point of even trying? I'm just going to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm just going to continue doing the things that I want to do. Because no matter how hard I try, I will never measure up. You know what's interesting about this way of balancing things is that ultimately, all of these things, striving for perfection, being good enough, or even giving up, they just leaves us in the same exact place. And it may take months or years or even decades for us to realize it. But when we relate to God in that way, we live a life of discontentment. And in fact, I've known people that when they relate to God in that way, what it ends up happening is that they walk away from God. So I want to tell you today, if you are relating to a God that keeps balances and you feel like running, I would say, good, run away, because that's not the God that we know. That's not the God that wants to have a relationship with us. That's not the God that wants to have communion with each one of us. Let me tell you some truths about God and what He wants from us. The truth is that all of us are in this position. The truth is that all of us have done things, and our own humanity have left us with a lot of bad things on the scale. Paul, an early church leader who wrote much of the New Testament, puts it this way. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." With our selfish acts, with our half-truths, with everything, with our rebellion, you know, we have loaded up the bad side. And no amount of good deeds is enough to tip the scales in our favor. He goes on to say, "There is no one righteous, not even one." And then if that's not enough, he continues to say, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law." Basically, what Paul is saying, no matter how hard you try, no matter how many good things you try to do, it doesn't matter how hard you want to do things in the good side, There is no way that we can tip the balance in our favor. Now, for some of us, that may seem like bad news. It's like, so what do we have left? What can I do? But this is where the good news of the gospel, this is where the new good news of Jesus come a reality in our life. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't say, I'm just going to take up some of your bad stuff and I'm going to leave you just how you are. Don't worry. You know what Jesus did? Jesus did this. He said, you know what? This striving of you, this that you're trying to do, doesn't work. There's no point in you trying to keep the balance. And what, you know what Jesus did? He destroyed the balance for us. He said, no more balance. He destroyed it. He dealt with it on the cross. And you know what Paul writes? He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? What we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus did it for us at the expense of his own life. He dealt with everything that we'd done, destroying our failures on the cross. And what's amazing is that he credits his goodness and his righteousness to us for the sacrifice that he paid on the cross. And that's our good news. You know what that means for us? That we don't have to try to be perfect. That we don't have to try just to be good enough, or that we have to give up. No. You know why? Because we are loved and we are forgiven and we are set free and we are accepted. We are welcomed by the love of the Father. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we put our faith in what Jesus has already done on the cross, like I said, God credits his righteousness to our spiritual accounts. Yes, we have to recognize, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a reality in our lives. But now, listen to this. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So many of us have the assumption that God relates to us the same way that we relate to others. That God uses his own version of balancing the axe, the scales. But it is not true. God is not like that at all. He has freely extended his grace for each and every one of us. And he has revealed his grace in the person of Jesus. And we discover that this balancing act doesn't apply anymore, because for what God has done through Jesus. God is after our hearts. God is after having a personal relationship with each one of us. You know, God's dream has always been to have a people by which he has a relationship, a personal relationship with him. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah had to say about this. He says this, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer they will teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their weakness and I will remember their sins no more." You know what this is saying is that God wants to have every person get to know him. And when we use the word know in our in English, it's more like an intellectual kind of thing. You know, I get to know some stuff. But in the original language, in Hebrew, the word know is so much deeper. It's so much profound. It means to know someone. It's to encounter, to experience, to share with that person an intimate way. And this is the kind of knowing that God wants to have with us. Think about this knowing, about the way that a parent knows their children. Or that a wife knows her husband and the husband knows his wife. To know someone is about attaching yourself to another person. Something that involves an inner commitment of dedication to that person. And what is amazing is that God's dreams for us is to get to know us, that we could get to know Him personally. And it's because of Jesus that every person has the opportunity to know God in this intimate way. So here's the challenge today. This is the challenge. I want to call every one of us today. Let's quit trying to balance the scales and trust Jesus. Let's quit trying to balance the scales and trust Jesus. Let's trust what Jesus has done for us, for you and for me. The things that we were not able to do on our own. I want to say today that the way of our striving to perfection, our way of trying just to be good enough, and even our way of giving up has been taken away. And today, we need to recognize that we are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are welcome, that you are accepted, that you have been set free. You know, finding your way back to God is not about trying harder. It's about trusting Jesus. It's about trusting Jesus. It's about knowing Him and following Him, the one who gave Himself to bring us home. There is something very important. There is an important marker in the life of anyone who decides to follow Jesus. And it's called baptism. Baptism symbolizes what it means to die and to the old ways. As we go under the water, we die to our old person. And then we are rise up from the water. We are given a new life, the opportunity to live every day forward in a personal relationship with Jesus. And today, here at Community and throughout all our locations, we are celebrating Baptism Sunday. This is one of my favorite days. This is my first Baptism Sunday here at Community, and I am so happy for two reasons. Number one, as a community, many of us have already made that declaration of faith. Many of us have been already baptized. And many times we just think that, oh, it's a one thing and we kind of forget about it. But when we come and celebrate baptism, we are actually remembering that commitment that we made. Maybe it was a few years ago, maybe it was months ago, but we remember that commitment that we made, that we said, God, I am serious with you. God, I am all in with you. And today, because of that, we celebrate with you. We celebrate that you made that decision one day and you decided to say, Jesus, I'm all in with you. I commit my life to you, and I'm happy that you are in my life. And that's why I made a public declaration of faith one day. So if that's your case, I want to congratulate you. I want to say that I'm happy for you that you made a public declaration that you are all in with Jesus, that you are all in with God. So we celebrate that. But maybe there's someone here today that you're still deciding, that you're still thinking and say, should I get baptized or not? And maybe you're struggling in your mind to make that decision today. And you have some questions in your heart. Maybe you have a lot of questions in your heart, in your mind. And I just want to address some of these questions. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I was baptized as a baby. Should I be baptized again? You know, some were sprinkled some water when we were babies. And I want to credit that to our parents for trying to commit their lives and commit our life for spiritual growth. But there's a point in our lives when we have to make that commitment for our own. There's a point in our life when we have to make that commitment for ourselves. And in fact, like, I believe that this is a way of completing what your parents started. You're honoring your parents and you're honoring God for something they started many years ago. Now we're saying, okay, I will make that decision for myself today. Maybe you're wondering, because what if I have family or friends who are not here today and I want to see this? Look, our friend Daniel, he said, I'm going to take beautiful pictures. We're going to take a lot of beautiful pictures. So we're going to send, we're going to be able to send those pictures and share them in Facebook, Instagram, send them. So if you're sensing God, that He's prompting you, don't put it off. Get baptized today. Maybe you're thinking, I want to get baptized, but do I have to do it in front of everyone? And I want to say, yeah, that's kind of like the point. That's the point, that you're making a public declaration, that you are saying publicly, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have this relationship with Him. It's kind of like an initiation to the family of God to live a life of devotion to Jesus. Look, if you're willing to get soaking wet in front of a lot of dry people, that tells that you are all in to follow Jesus. Don't shy away. Be baptized today. Maybe you're saying, God is prompting me, but I don't have clothes. I didn't come prepared. I have good news for you. We have everything here. We have shirts. We have shorts. We have towels. We even buy a blow dryer, right? We even bought a blow dryer. So if your hair gets wet, you know, you have no excuse. And I want to share a short story here. My dad got to know Jesus when he was 60 years old, and he was really sick. He only lived 3 years after that. And he had to do dialysis. He had to go through dialysis because his kidneys were not working. And when he invited Jesus into his heart, he asked the pastor, hey, what's the next step? And the pastor said, well, Christians throughout history get baptized. But there was a problem. He had a catheter through his, around here, this part, and there was no way that he could get wet. So he was really, really, really sad because he really wanted to make that public confession of faith. I mean, his whole life had been a combination of a lot of mess and a lot of things. So he wanted to make that confession of faith. So he goes with the doctor and he says, well, there's a way that we can help you. I mean, we can do a surgery and combine an artery with a vein and do it through there. But it's going to cost you about $3,000. And you know what my father did? It's like, who cares? $3,000 for the privilege to die to my old self. I mean, we're not saying that you pay for that. That's not what I'm saying. Don't take it that way. What I'm saying is that sometimes we have it so easy and we put so many excuses. So if God is prompting you today, we have everything here that you need to get baptized. And then some of the other questions that we have, this is something interesting. Don't I need to have my life all together before I get baptized? And the answer is no. That is trying to do the balancing act again on yourself. Following Jesus is saying, God, I don't have it all together. I will never have it all together. But I cannot do it on my own. I need Jesus. So if you're asking that question to yourself today, you should be baptized today. Friend, God wants every person to know Him personally, to encounter, to experience, to share with Him an intimate way. I want to remind you one more time. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are welcome. We are accepted. We are set free. So if you're ready today to stop balancing the scales and put your trust in Jesus, I want to invite you to make a prayer with me and be baptized today. Let's pray really, really quick. Father God, thank you because you destroy all the balances for us. What we couldn't do in our own strength, you did it on the cross, and we are so grateful for that. Thank you so much for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving your life. But But thank you for the victory that came after that. That you did not stay on that cross, but you rose up from the dead and you gave us victory. So we thank you for that. And today we celebrate with every person here who has already made a decision to make a public confession of faith by saying, I want to get baptized. So thank you so much. Let us remember what that commitment means for us and how you have marked us with a sign and a seal of your love and your grace upon our lives. And Father God, I pray for the people who are thinking about it today. Away from manipulation or anything like that, Father, we ask that you would not allow us to do that. But the conviction of your Holy Spirit in people's heart, that if someone here needs to take that step of faith, that they will say today, yes, I want to take that step. So Holy Spirit, you are the one. You're the only one who can convince us. So we pray this in Jesus' name.